That's really good news right there in that praise song. That is awesome.
Amen.
I don't know why National Geographic and all them kind of stations and history channels, they leave poor Jesus in the grave, no hope, that's the end of Christianity. What a bunch of dummies. Oh my God, if they would just exercise the child of little Noah back there and say, I believe there's a God somewhere. I don't know where he is and I don't know who he is, but I sure know he is. Oh my, even the Hindus who worship gods and goddesses come to know that there's a God that's greater and beyond and higher than all of the other gods and goddesses and statues that they worship. And they want to know him when they find out. Oh my, he is awesome and he's mighty. We used to think Mighty Mouse to the rescue. Mighty God to the rescue now. Mighty Mouse ain't got nothing on the Lord. Woohoo! Come on, somebody. Yeah, there you go. There you go. If God can dance and rejoice over us with singing, gosh, why can't we rejoice over him too? I was watching a little bit of that Daytona 500 last week, and those people were ripping around the track, you know, 195 miles an hour, and suddenly a car jumped the fence, and a few people freaked out and got banged up, but all the others were just drinking their beer and shouting and carrying on. And man, when God comes through the heavens on his flaming chariot, there ought to be a whole lot of shouting going on. Wow, and I hope he parks it right here. Right here. And he says, y'all want to go for a real ride around the track? Let me show you my creation. Hop on. Go for a ride. Whew, don't know where all that came from. That's pretty good.
It sure
would. That's right. Amen. Our opening scripture this morning comes from a book in the Bible, along with Ephesians, that makes some pastors nervous if their congregations ever get a hold of those two books and start reading them and coming to identify themselves with the Christ that Barbara's talking about. Colossians is one of those books. And I'd like to bring your attention to chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And there are many translations of the Bible, many versions of the Bible, but I came across this one. It's called the Easy to Read Version. And it's not in the computer in the back, so Tom typed it up, and I'd like to read this, Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And you talk about the power of God and what God is able to do, what he has done on our behalf. Get a hold of this. We were spiritually dead because of our sins, and because we were not free from the power of our sinful self. But God gave us new life together with Christ. He forgave all our sins. Because we broke God's laws, we owed a debt that listed all the rules we failed, but God forgave us of that debt. He took it away and nailed it to the cross. He defeated the rulers of the spiritual world. With the cross, he won the victory over them and led them away as defeated and powerless prisoners for the whole world to see.
That's the original walk of shame.
What's that?
It's
the
original walk of shame.
Is it?
Right. With Jesus defeating them and leading them away for the whole world to see.
Yes. Yes. And so when we break the scripture down a little bit, I've often said in different times sharing my testimony of salvation how I died and went to my own funeral. I was there for it. But I also experienced my first resurrection. I understood and realized that spiritually we're dead before Christ quickens us to life through the new birth, through being born again. And this isn't just turning over a new leaf that Paul's talking about. Being born again is a life-changing, eternity-changing experience that happens in a person's life. We not only believe on Jesus, but you receive him and receive what he did for you personally. That's very important, that a person receive what Jesus did, yes?
I just
No.
Yeah, it's nothing about being good. It's about being God-minded.
Amen. But it kind of gives us a lot of hope for people that we're praying for and believing God for their salvations, and because we that are born again can relate and understand what God did in our lives. And sometimes we don't even know what happened until all we know is we chose to believe on Jesus and suddenly a new life springs forth within us. But it says we were not free from the power of our sinful self, and that's the part that was crucified, the old sin nature. So we can't rightly go around and say we're just all sinners saved by grace. Not anymore. We're new creations. Read the banner on the wall. That was also written. And the old sin nature is dead now. If we sin now, it's because we yield to it, either in our mind, and then we carry it out, but it works through our mind and through our flesh. Sin is now on the outside. It's no longer controlling us from the inside. Our nature, the old sin nature, is dead. That's the part that was nailed to the cross. We are no longer controlled by it from within, like before we were saved. And this is a real powerful truth. So you can do a lot of things and change everything on the outside to look good, but until something happens on the inside, people just get frustrated. That's what religion does. It dresses up the cup, but it's never really clean inside. That's religion does that. But the righteousness of God comes from being born again, born of the Spirit. God gave us a new life together with Christ. And I really like this. Because we broke God's laws, we owed a debt. And I never thought about breaking God's laws. Actually, quite frankly, care if I did or not. I didn't know what they were, and I didn't really care. Because that's where most people are before they say, we live in the now. If it feels good, do it. And I did it, and it felt good, and I kept doing it. Plain and simple. Because that's what the old sin nature does. It leads us by feelings and our natural senses. And we broke the laws of God. But I also discovered another truth. When Jesus went to the cross, the judgment of God fell. God judged every person in the whole world and said, you know what? You're all guilty. Every one of you. Not one of you. You're all guilty. Sentenced to death. But Jesus stood in our place and bore God's judgment upon himself. That is a truth that we really need to get a hold of, so that we don't get into this mindset, God's judging you, God's judging you, God's making you jump through hoops, and boy, you're really going to pay for what you did. Now Jesus Christ already paid for what you did, and he paid for what I did. One offering forever for anyone and all who will come to him. Amen. And even if they don't, he still paid the price. They just may not receive the benefit of that. But this is so important, because religion will tell you, even as a Christian, you got to keep this law, you got to keep that law, you got to do this, or God's not going to bless you, God's not going to favor you. But when you really read what Jesus Christ did, and you come to the point where you have a better understanding of what he did on the cross, all of those things were nailed to his cross with him. All of the charges, if God ever kept score, and he kept a record of the charges against us, all of heaven couldn't contain them all. But all the charges, every violation, everything that we ever did that was contrary to the laws and principles of God, they were all nailed to the cross. Somebody ought to be free today for hearing that. You've been carrying stuff you don't need to carry. You've been punishing yourself because you think you have to, because you got to do penance to pay for what you did. That's what the devil would like to do, to keep you in bondage to your thoughts, keep you in bondage to trying to play little Jesus and deal with it yourselves. We can't, and there's no need to. The price has been paid. Get over it and get on with your life, and don't you let the devil hold you back. Don't you let him keep you from going forward because of what you did. God has no record of that. In fact, he paraded it about openly at the cross when he was raised from the dead. I could just see him tearing up the tearing up the rap sheet. Oh man, all of hell must have went in agony and screaming and torment, because the enemy knew he had nothing more that he could hold over you in your life. The power and the authority when Christ was raised from the dead. There's another scripture in Matthew I like. When Jesus was raised from the dead, all the dead bodies of the saints came up and were walking through the streets of Jerusalem too. You don't think you have access to any power? Oh my goodness. He defeated the rulers and powers of the spiritual world with the cross. He won the victory over them as defeated and powerless prisoners for the whole world to see. The only power that the enemy of our soul has over us is what we give him. If we put the welcome mat out, yeah, he's going to take advantage, wouldn't you? Aren't you an opportunist for Christ? Well, there are people who are opportunists for the devil, looking to take advantage of you, looking to use you, looking to hurt you, looking to mess up your walk. But they have no authority over you. They don't have any power over you. That's good news. So we don't have to get big-headed and prideful. We just act in faith. We live in faith, knowing that that's true. And that'll keep us out of a whole lot of pity parties, self-condemnation, beating ourselves up, thinking that we've got to do something to pay the price. And I kind of didn't find anybody else hanging on the cross with Jesus. Kind of found that it was all him. And when it's all him, that's even better. There's no room for me. I don't need to be there. My old nature was. But that's all. It's passed away. In fact, that's why I like that verse on the wall too. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You're not who you used to be. You might think you are, but you're not, and God says you're not. You might have the same earth suit, but something wonderful happened inside. Old things have passed away. When someone dies, we use the term they passed away. The old you died. You passed away. And now all things are become new. Yay. Let's celebrate. Let's have a huggy break and rejoice. This morning, this word that I've brought will be a little different. It's going to come in the form of some testimonies in line with the opening scripture we had this morning from Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15. And it has to do with the power of God that was released through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how that impacts people's lives today. Some people say, like the Constitution, it's not relevant, it's an old document, and it's lost its mojo. Well, I want to tell you that God never loses his mojo.
Amen.
No way, Jose. What he said then is applied now. What he did then, he'll do now. I found after going on a lot of missions trips, I came home and I discovered that I had to give an account, because I heard that God didn't do those things anymore. And I said, well, what's all this I've been seeing? What's all this I've been writing about? What's all this when I pray and I see these things happening? And then I got to go home and tell everybody it's all a lie. God don't do that stuff anymore. What am I going to tell them? Well, I want to tell you there's more coming. Three testimonies this morning. I was going to share them during the testimony time, but I thought these fit exactly with our opening scripture this morning. These come from India. And you talk about the power of the gospel. Mr. Kumba. Mr. Kumba is a name that's of no name to you, but he is to the Lord. Mr. Kumba, a strict follower of non-Christian faith, an idol worshiper, a keen observer of Christians, used to come near a house where we were having our village cell group. He used to sit outside just for the observation's sake and to know what these Christians do. Now get an insight into this. People watch what we do. They may not at that point want what we've got, but they can tell you how to walk your walk right down to the letter. Okay? this character would just come and observe. And when the ministers would come with the word of God to a house, and all the people would gather in that house, they would hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Their faith would come in a measure that they would be able to release it for their healing, for their deliverance, for their victories from the addictions and habits and bondages and spiritual things that hold people bound. And I saw this very often, but these are some recent ones, just in the last few days this week. While you were doing whatever you were doing this week, Mr. Kumba had an encounter with the living God. The only true and living God, as Jesus said, to use Jesus' words. One fine day, he had an encounter with us, and we told him that Jesus loves him. And we prayed for him and told that today Jesus is going to be with you because he loves you. That's a happy tune. I want to tell you right there, Jesus loves you.
Well, praise the Lord.
Don't you get upset. I'm not. I come here to have a good time sharing good news.
Amen.
But Mr. Kumba got saved that day because it was an encounter that he had that he didn't expect, which is quite often how the Lord moves, right when we least expect it, when we're not looking for it. He shows up. Mr. Kumba was out cutting a huge tree to sell, and by accident, the tree fell, and he was supposed to have been crushed under the huge tree, but only his leg got fractured, and he is safe and spared. He received Jesus right then and there, telling us only Jesus saved him. Wow, if God's going to knock a tree down on you to get you saved, y'all better have your hard hats on. Hard hats for hard heads and hard hearts. Oh, gosh. That's right. That's a hard place to be. You're right. But God got him. Here's another one. Mrs. Nagama. Hope I'm pronouncing her name right, because I'm sure I'm going to have the honor of meeting her one day. A famous witchcraft, black magic lady around the villages. When we go to India, we see this all the time. Witch doctors, the occult, black magic, people putting demonic spells on others and summoning demons to come into a village. We see that all the time. That's very common. And but this lady, a famous witchcraft and black magic lady around the villages, she was so angry with us since we started telling people about the great Savior, Jesus. And people started listening to the good news and turning to him. She lost some of her customers due to us. You remember that little encounter in the book of Acts that landed Paul and Silas in jail over the same kind of thing? You said, well, that was written 2,000 years ago. That can't happen anymore. There are preachers that say God don't do those things anymore. Well, I think they're full of holy smoke. Right. Yeah, the smoke without the relationship. Actually, the smoke with whatever relationship you have. Where there's smoke, there's fire. But I really like how the power of the gospel cuts through whatever a person is into. She was showing her anger toward us when she used to see us. But one day she had severe stomach pain and there was no one there to help her. And since it's in the forest village, and the hospital is 20 kilometers away, no transportation available. I've told you so many times, if people get sick, the nearest hospital is so far away that if you could even find a vehicle, it's questionable whether you'd survive the ride. Well, she couldn't call upon her demons and her magic and her witchcraft powers. But here we go. We prayed for her. She's fine now. And when she returned back next day, she was so nice to us. And after talking to her and sharing the good news with her, she accepted Jesus as her Savior and Lord. And now she is very eager and regular to the cell group and felt all the witchcraft, or left all the witchcraft and black magic. She's getting ready for the water baptism. Please pray for her. You know, when people tell you that you can't be free, you can't be loosed, you got to live with it, you got to deal with it, you got to put up with it. But for the God factor, that's going to be very true. But when you see how powerful the gospel is, how dangerous that is to the enemy's camp, and God has entrusted you with such a dangerous thing. Did you ever wonder why hell shakes when you know who you are in Christ and you know who He is in you? When your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil's going, "Oh my God, they're up. Guess I better go to Timbuktu for today. I can't mess with them." Because to the believer that knows the power of the one who dwells within you is a believer that is going to do great exploits for God. You are not going to be stopped. You are not going to be intimidated. You are not going to be mocked. And you're not going to be shamed for the sake of the gospel, because it's not our power anyway. It's God's power. Them Daytona 500 race car engines ain't got nothing compared to what you got. You are hot to trot for the King, I'm telling you. And you may think you're going in circles like a race car, but the enemy can't catch you. He can't overpower you. He can't stop you. There is nothing that can stop you. When you speak the word of God, it's already established in heaven, and when you speak it, you establish it here. Here's another guy. Let me see. Now, his name is, I think he has a bad name because of his character. This one is Mr. Mahadeva. Here's his village, a forest village, a wonderful transformation. Listen to this. A man who was a bandit, a robber, and a problem maker. I love the way Pastor Sherrard worded these characters. A bandit, a robber, and a problem maker. His lifestyle was very careless, and he was a very furious man. He was running away from the police all these years, and finally left robbing and doing other things. But he hadn't got saved yet. See, he started to get religious. He started because the police scared him. So he tried to make a few exterior changes motivated by fear. How many times do we do that? You know, we get slapped on the wrist. We get informed that we broke the law. We need to change something. So we quit doing that and then we start doing something else maybe. But if there's not a heart change, it's just temporary. It's a quick fix to get us out of a bad mess. Well, that's what Mr. Robber was like. Brother Joseph, I met Brother Joseph. He was in the Bible school class one year that I was in India, he and his wife, and they have absolutely upset the powers of darkness and hell in some of these forest villages. He and his wife together share the gospel together. They walk, they go by bicycles, however they can get to these villages. Funny thing about these people, they take what they heard and they go out and apply it. They don't have to sit in church 8 years to realize they can share their faith with somebody. It works. They don't have to wait until they've got every word down just perfect to say, someone needs to get saved. Someone needs to get healed. Someone needs to get delivered. They don't have to go to 49 evangelism classes before you can go to the laundromat and tell somebody, you know, your life is going in circles like that pile of clothes in here. And Jesus could give you some stability in your life. These people get it and they just go do it. That's why I love the simplicity of their childlike faith. I fit right in. I did the same thing. Somebody told me that, I believed it and never questioned it since. 30 years coming up in just 3 weeks. Never questioned it. I hear a lot of people try to dispute God's word, where it came from, how it came, and oh, that's not an accurate translation, and all that wasn't in there, and that isn't supposed to be there, and that's not really what the Bible says. Well, I've come to one conclusion. I don't care whether it was or not. I made a decision that it's God's word and I'm going to believe it, and that settles it. And it changed my life and gave me a better quality of life than anything I've ever known. And even if it isn't the word of God, it's been a wonderful ride.
Amen.
Far better than anything I ever knew before. And I can tell you the devil will take you for a ride, all right, the highway to hell.
Amen.
He'll tell you.
Yes, ma'am, he will. That's right. Well, anyway, Brother Joseph contacted this robber, shared the good news with him. See, that's important with the gospel, that we don't threaten people. You're going to hell. That's not good news. The good news is you don't have to. You can if you want to. But that's why the gospel is called good news. I mean, I don't want to be a crispy critter. When I find there's a fire extinguisher right around the corner, I like that. And if I only know Jesus is a fire extinguisher, that's good. That's a start. I have respect. If you believe Jesus and confess your sin to Jesus and ask forgiveness, he will forgive you and save you from all of your fears. Mr. Mahadeva was convicted and accepted Jesus as the Savior and Lord, and now he's a regular in the village cell group. Please pray for him. Because what happens is, when somebody in one of these villages gets saved, all of the opposition of the Hindus and the Muslims come against them big time. You think you got trouble at work? Somebody's coming after you with a machete to make you about 8 inches shorter, starting with the top. You got troubles? Give me a break. These people, immediately the persecution starts. And when they go get water baptized, that's really bad news. Because they're identifying openly and publicly, they're identifying with Jesus' death and his resurrection. They all know that whoever these believers are, these flaky folk, they got something that so changed their lives that they just have to tell the whole world about it. You know, God wins by love. The devil takes by force and by evil. But God wins by love. And you come back to that opening scripture this morning in Colossians, that Jesus has defeated every spirit, every realm of the demonic, every evil power and force that's in this world. Jesus has defeated it, stripped of it, all of its power and all of its authority, nailed it to his cross, and rose triumphantly in victory over it. There is no other name in heaven that's greater than the name of Jesus. And today, when you think about maybe some issues or stuff going on in your life, you don't have to worry about the power factor. You just got to be concerned about the enemy keeping you from being free if you really want to be free. Thank you for your testimony, Lorraine. I see God's power changing people's lives every day. Some I expect, some just walk into my life right off the street and I don't even know who they are. I like it that way. Because then I don't have to get intellectual and try to figure out all their stuff. I just know the stuff remover. Gosh, he's so good. What's that?
I think that's better than any kind of intellect in this world that can offer.
Oh, when I try to figure out stuff in my mind, boy, do I make a mess. Oh, my God. What I like to do is I call it the royal flush. I flush my mind like a toilet and get rid of all the crap that's in there, all my preconceived ideas about somebody else and how I've got all the answers to figure it out. Bloop, down the toilet it goes. And then I just do a little fasting and prayer and let God show me things. I don't have to know the person. I know them by the Spirit. And the Lord will show me exactly what they have need of. And oh my, all you got to do is be willing to watch God's power go to work. And I'm going to devour this plant if it keeps getting closer. I'm hungry. Be a vegetarian right before your very eyes. But I want to tell you the reason I brought those is to show you, even in a far land where many, many people have never heard about Jesus, and there are countless hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions of people around the world that have never yet heard what you heard to save you. When you want to pray for somebody and you don't know how to pray, pray for people like this. Tom met a former Hindu priest and his wife, and they're still running, not running, but they have no place called home hardly. Their villagers threw them out into the open toilet beside the roads. You go outside of a village and it's an open toilet. Malcolm and Phyllis will be here in May. They'll tell you about that. They've been in India for years. That's what happened to them when they got saved. The villagers went, ransacked their hut, took all this stuff and said, "You're no longer one of us. Get out." But every day they rejoice because somebody like this first guy that observes the Christian way. Remember their testimony, Tom? How the villagers, the hierarchy of the Hindu village would spy on them. They would just walk by and just watch them and see if they're reading their Bibles, watching them pray, making sure that they don't violate any of the laws of Christianity. And these people are Hindus. But they spy on them and they watch them and they keep them under strict observation. That's the conditions they live in. How would you like to live like that? And you step out of line, boom, they got you. Oh my. Pray for your brothers and sisters that get saved in foreign countries. This is a cakewalk here. This is a cakewalk with all the frosting and all the trimmings. Yeah, yes. Someone brought me a piece of carrot cake and it's in on my desk. And it's not going to last the hour if I don't get with it.
Are you going to share it?
No. Sometimes a man just has to keep his blessings. You got to do what you got to do. But I want to pray for any of you that have needs this morning, because these testimonies that inspire us in our faith, it causes us to dare to believe God for us, for ourselves, because sometimes these things happen under great duress in a person's life, a lot of pressure, but we have the freedom to come willingly for whatever our needs are. But I sure know that as we come to know God more and we come to know Him better, we'll know that it grieves Him if we bring things and at the last minute we're reluctant to leave them with Him. I like to look at God as the one with the wheelbarrow, and we put all our stuff in it and it gets dumped at the cross and He takes care of it. It's kind of like a, what do you call that pile of stuff that you leave out behind the house with all your food scraps? What's that called?
Compost.
A compost. Yes, God's compost. A wheelbarrow full of our sorrows and troubles left at the foot of the cross. And when it gets recycled, it isn't like it was. It starts new life and new growth. So if you got anything you want to throw on the heap this morning, it ain't too high for you to reach it.